Holy shit.
Great open pitch.
Thank you. That's really how I feel. That's like exactly how I felt once the episode was over. Holy fucking shit.
Well, yeah, I mean, butter my ass and call me Davy Jones. That was pretty fucking wild.
You're making fun of me and you just said that. You need to just shut up.
You know what they say, Paige.
Well, I'm actually like secretly glad that I actually snagged a bottle of Cook's. I went to the liquor store this weekend because we had a blizzard and I wasn't even planning on getting it, but there was one left like in the freezer. And it was like that moment where it's like,
oh, Cook's.
Like a spotlight Cook's was on it. And I was like, what? Magic. You know, what I was thinking though? I was like, it sucks that we're like gonna be drinking Cook's on an episode that's like not about Cal.
Boy, was I wrong.
So let's pop this shit.
Let's pop this bitch. This is a good thing too, because I realized the last few episodes that since I've been drinking like drinks, the ice like clanks around in my glass and I sound like fucking Julian from Trailer Park Boys. Like I always have like a clanking like glass in my hand.
Oh god, I'm scared. Oh fuck.
Ooh.
I always go to cover my ears when you do that, but I have headphones on, so I can't, and I hate it.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that ASMR of Cook's entering thine glass.
The Cook's ASMR. This is what Cal listens to while he's working.
You have to do the little like swivel, like do you do that with champagne or just wine, where you do like the swivel like.
I mean, I think like better sip, champagne sip than this would warrant a little Alex swirl, but I don't know if you need to swirl the Cook's.
Nothing is better than Cook's. And also, for those that like are brand new to our podcast, real quick, like Cook's, if you don't know, you don't know, and I feel sorry for you, but just rewatch the scene where Cal's fucking Jules in the motel and you'll know why we drink Cook's.
Yep,
let's cheers to that.
Yeah. Cheers to that. To what, Cook's or Cal Jules in the motel?
To Cal, meaning Mr. Big Balls.
Cheers to Mr. Big Balls.
Mr. Big Balls.
Yeah, big time. Cheers to that.
I really do need a big gulp of this before we start.
We've come a long way that we're at a place where we're cheersing to Cal.
I know. What a ride. What a journey.
I have to say, like, what I was concerned about them doing this season with Nate, they did with Cal, but I was never concerned about it happening with Cal, because as we talked about last week, he's far more sympathetic.
Yeah.
So I like that the redemptive arc this season goes to Cal and I not do too. Nate. Instead, Nate's, like, even more, like, mysterious and, like,
we'll get to that. Dark. Yeah, I was going to say, I actually think Nate this season, it's like the same, but it's not. I'm feeling a little different, but not in like a positive light. But
he's doing less outwardly evil things, but there are hints.
But we don't know yet.
There's hints at like a deeper like psychosis going on. Like we're getting like, you know,
there
are hints being dropped that he's like darker and more fucked up than we even know yet. So
when someone's that quiet all the time and is just like stewing in their emotions, you know, like they're just fucked up. Like I just, like you said, I think it's, we're only episode 4, we're halfway though, so that's psycho. Like I can't believe we're already halfway. That's really weird. I'm kind of like bittersweet about it.
Yeah, halfway. Half the 50% mark,
and like you said, we really don't know. There could be like Nate could be stewing and there's all this shit going on behind the scenes that we don't know yet, so right now I'm kind of like, he's fine with me, but like he's gonna fuck shit up. I just feel it.
We'll see.
It'll be like last season where he just like drops a bomb and then you're like, fuck,
I
hate you all over again.
School shooter status or something.
Yeah, no, I really hope not that far. I really hope. Well, before we even like just go right into the episode, what are your thoughts on all this like shit being spoken about Dare coming out with that article with TMZ being like,
yeah, yes. Before we get into the actual episode, I guess we have a few like peripheral things
we
to
have
talk
to
about. That one, yeah, I mean, I think that's stupid because like I think Euphoria is up there with the greats in portraying like the horror of like drug use, like Requiem for a Dream, like Enter the Void type stuff. Like it's not, doesn't look good.
No.
And in season 2 it's looking even worse than ever. So
To give a little background though too, for those that don't like deep dive like we do, Dare like came out to TMZ and was like, we'd really like to meet with like Sam and like the crew on HBO and like talk about like drugs so that like people and teens watching this show don't glamorize it and think it's cool. Like,
they're basically just called them out and said, like,
which is so stupid, in my opinion. It's so stupid.
And I think, aside from the fact that I don't think drug use is being glamorized on the show, I also think that, like, Dare's messaging about, like, abstinence being the way has been, like, a massive failure. Like,
yes.
The war on drugs was a huge failure. Abstinence fails in every regard when you try to teach it, whether it's sex or drugs or whatever. Like, that's just not, like, a viable, like, message to communicate to.
No.
Burgeoning adult, like, it doesn't work. Like, people are interested in drugs and sex for reasons,
yeah,
and you have to, like, approach those things with, like, well thought out messaging about, like, how you can safely, like, engage in that stuff, because people are gonna do it.
So, no, for sure.
I don't know, stupid.
No, not stupid, but also, like, oh, they're stupid. What, yeah, you said stupid. Is not stupid, though, but, like,
no, it's stupid.
Yeah, Alex and I were also saying, I feel like a lot of maybe Gen Z don't relate, but, like, Dare used to literally, like, tour and, like, would come to my school, and same with Alex, and it's, like, the way they would try and portray, like, drugs and, like, how dangerous they were, it was so non-effective, it was, like, laughable, like...
No, it's ridiculous.
In high school, they set up, like, a fake fucking, like, car wreck in our, like, parking lot, and it was, like, triggering, it was, like, holy shit, it was, like, it was, like, supposed to be, like, a drunk driver, like... car accident scene, and they were like, this is like your brain on drugs, like, don't do drugs. And I remember everyone just being like, this is so stupid, like, laughing and being like, why would they ever do this? Like, this is...
Well, they have that silly lion mascot too,
a
which
lion?
Is not helping. Yeah, they have like,
what
do
you
silly...
say, like, rawr.
They have a silly lion mascot. He's like, yeah, like, you can stand up to doing drugs. Something stupid like that. You know.
Because that's totally what a lion would do.
Hey, kids, don't do drugs.
Oh, my God. Roar. I didn't know there was a mascot.
Yeah, there's, like, a stupid lion.
Well, now it's, like, cool, too, to, like, buy the Dare shirts at, like, vintage stores.
Yeah, because, like, everyone knows drugs are cool. Like...
Well, not when you're Rue, but sure.
Not Rue.
But yeah, I mean, if you have the balance and, like, can handle it, of course drugs are cool. Like, if you're not a fucking, you know.
But yeah, long story short, I don't think Euphoria glamorizes drug use.
No.
And I don't think Dare has got anything valid or helpful to say about Euphoria or to teenagers in general. It's, like, a product of the war on drugs.
I, like, sweat watching
just
Euphoria.
Just costs everyone obscene amounts of money and horror.
I just feel, like, nauseous and, like, sweaty watching Rue. I'm like, this doesn't look great at all. This is not, like...
No.
No. Like, we were also saying, like shows like Gossip Girl and shit, like, yes, they, like, glamorize it. Because it's all, like, fucking bullshit.
Yeah, I think, like, your general run-of-the-mill, like, teen show is far more at fault for glamorizing drug use. Because there's no investment in showing, like, a long, like... drawn out portrait of, like, the horrors of drug use. It's always just, like, a, like, brief, like, plot point, like... where it's like, this person got really into drugs, and they make it look great for a while, and then the next episode, they'll just be, like, sweaty and strung out, and they're like, now they have to go to rehab.
And
then that's, like, the end
of
the drug
plot. Yeah.
Like,
or
that's,
like,
way more glamorized than what Euphoria is doing.
Or you're going to Riverdale, where they call drugs Jingle Jangle. Because it's a CW show, so they, like, can't say, like, heroin, so they call it Jingle Jangle.
I don't even know what to make of that.
So we can just say...
That's,
we'll,
like, too easy to roast.
We'll end it saying, like... Euphoria does it well. They portray drugs, which, if you're an addict, they portray it the way it is, which it fucking sucks. It's not glamorized, so kids out there looking into that shit, be careful.
So the other, like, random thing was, like, all these, like, rumors. There were so many bullshit rumors about this episode that someone was gonna die, and there was some fucking, like, source that everyone was pointing to.
Demois?
Some fucking account, and all I have to say about all that is, like, that's all a bunch of bullshit. And
the
Demois
account is what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, it's like, no one died in this episode. That was all fake news. Like, there was all this, like, faux drama about, like, behind the scenes conflict and who was getting written off for what reason, and it's all completely unsubstantiated.
Someone, like wrote into us saying that, like, Jacob Elordi, like, stormed off because he was so tired of, like, having to work with Z because
they
dated.
Said, like,
I'm
four,
like...
different people stormed off the set, and they said, like, four different people were gonna die. Like, it's just, like, stupid. No one even died.
No. The one that's coming up the most, though, that I don't really care about, because I just, like, don't really care about, like, on-set drama. Like, who cares? But everyone is saying that Kat stormed off set on Euphoria, and I like kind of want to get the girl on the pod and be like, just clear the air. Did you storm off? And like maybe she did for like a hot second, but then came back and was like, whatever, like moving on.
Whatever, it's all a bunch of fake news.
Or it never happened.
Like, right, this is all like complete like hearsay. And the whole, they were using this to like say that like such and such person was gonna die or be written off in this episode, which didn't happen. So I'm like, I don't care about that.
No.
Dumb. I can't believe how much that dominated like the news cycle like leading up to this episode. Like in
I don't know
the
why.
Euphoria world. I'm like, where did this come from? Who cares?
Well, it wasn't bullshit. Just that. It was also, there were so many. Then people were talking about Al G. Smith, like, also, like, storming off set.
Yeah,
so we've got Kat, Nate, and Al G. all at once, like, storming off set.
It was just, like, a, like, shit show of, like, a storm of, like, bullshit.
Like, yeah, just, like, no, yeah, like, I don't
care about any of that. And none of it ended up affecting the episode in the ways they were trying to insinuate it would. Like,
no, and we just don't, we kind of talked about it, like, people were saying that Al G was mad because, like, he actually had, like, an episode about his characters. He felt kind of like, and once again, all fucking bullshit hearsay. We don't even know if it's real. But he was, like, saying, like, he's bummed that his character's just, like, out episode one. I was, like, talking to Alex about it the other day, and I'm like, I don't care. Like, McKay's in college. Like, I don't want to see, like, McKay's life in college. I don't give a shit. Like, I love Al G. I loved his part in season one, but, like, I don't really see, like, a need for, like, a longer, like, drag out of Al G's character pertaining to, like, the story.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of weird how, like, much they gave him in season one to then drop him in season two, but I agree with you that from, like, a plot standpoint, it doesn't really make that much sense to have him hanging around anymore, so I, like, get it. Like, I'm not salty about it. You'd have to really, like, bend over backwards to be like, here's why this college guy is still involved with all these high schoolers. Like,
that's what I'm saying, like, and also, like, maybe that was part of it. Maybe they were like, it's kind of weird that, like, this college guy is always around all these high schoolers. Like, let's move on. Like, sorry, McKay, but you're getting the boot.
Yeah. I don't know.
Sorry, Al G, but you know what? Al G's doing well in his career, so, like, good job, Al G. Like, he's fine.
Good. Great.
So, in other words, we have no idea if anyone even stormed off set, but according to, like, the mass media, like, six people stormed off set.
According
on Euphoria.
To Des Moines.
What a weird...
What the fuck ever.
What a weird situation. I looked into that account, and it's just, like, not even worth, like, talking about any longer, but it was weird, like, how no one knows who it really is. I'm like, really? Like,
no
none of her friends have outed
internet
her?
Account is.
Or him?
Like, they're all fucking anonymous. Like, it's not, like, so wild that it's, like, no one knows who it is. It's like...
Yeah, it's like, I don't really know who, like, Diet Prada is.
I mean, they, like, were anonymous for a long time. They've come out since then, but, like...
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of accounts, but I don't know who it is. Who cares?
Yeah, who fucking cares?
So weird, but yeah, a lot of drama on the Euphoria outskirts. Also, like, a lot of weird criticism mixed with, like, a ton of praise. I think Euphoria so far is getting so much more praise where it matters, but there is a lot of weird, like, bullshit criticism of people being like, this season is, like, not good, like...
Strongly disagree. I've liked this episode, the last episode, and the first episode are my three favorite episodes of Euphoria ever.
That's crazy. I mean,
I
only didn't
really
like episode two. I like all the rest,
yeah,
like a
right.
ton, and this one like,
that's an easier way to say it.
Well, yeah, I know,
episode
but
two sucked.
But
yeah.
Season one is like so strong for me. So I'm really happy with season two. I'm like, Sam is not letting me down.
Yo, yeah, this and episode one of the season are my two favorite episodes. I thought this was so good.
Yeah, this episode, like, just everything from, like, the lighting, the script, like, the dynamic of all the characters was just more entertaining than the other episodes. I just feel like all across the board, this was, like, Euphoria to me. Like, the score, like, the real, like, deep emotional parts were pretty fucking crazy. Then you get some comedy. Like, I just feel like this episode, like, had it all. It was, like... a perfect Euphoria package with, like, a little...
Yeah. What I really like about this season is that they're definitely, like, moving away from, like, the high school drama. It's not all mm-hmm. just, like, interpersonal, like, high school, like, you know,
yeah.
teen girl drama. And it's been
more
much more, like, out there, way more, like, surreal, more, like, metaphysical, like, gnarlier.
Sure.
Just, like, the storylines are just, like, far more interesting and have more, like, gravity than... the, like, you know, classic, like, teen
yeah.
stuff we were getting in season one.
Well, and you always like how Sam's kind of, like, you always say, like, he's kind of gonzo, like, He definitely takes things to like the next level on certain things.
Yeah.
So I'm here for it. I feel like this one definitely took it to the next level.
Yeah. Yeah, I just appreciate that we're moving out of this being like a high school like teen show to being something like much bigger with bigger ambitions.
And bigger impact.
Yep.
Agreed. I already need another glass of Cooks. Pour me this.
Well, let's go.
As we dig in. But Alex and I, for the life
happy
of...
Happy to provide.
Thank you. For the life of us, we literally cannot figure out what the title means. But what's the title, Alex? Do you have it pulled up?
I don't
even remember. But I actually have it.
I couldn't find it.
No, I have it. It's like a weird like quote. I'm guessing. I was thinking maybe it's some kind of like, I don't know. It sounds like Shakespeare or something. You who cannot see, think of those who can. I don't know. I've got nothing. All I could think of was, like, are they paralleling that to, like, there's shit that you might not see, but, like, no, fuck it. I'm not even going to try. After last week, thinking rumination was rue plus imagination, I feel like I can't look too far into this.
You can't make another guess.
Honestly, too, with Euphoria, it's either, it, like, has a ton of meaning or it's just Sam being like, I really like that 90s song, so here it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have any like guesses or like,
no,
I haven't floated any theories as to what that means or how it relates to the episode.
Well, slide in the DMs if you know. I mean, I would like to know, but yeah, I couldn't find anything.
I'm open to hearing people's thoughts on that.
Obsessed with this whole rules love montage. I think that's very funny and like cheeky.
Yeah, the opening montage is fucking great.
It's so fun. Titanic, we've got Snow White.
Yeah, I mean, there's like a heavy like classical art influence in this episode in particular, but in the opening scene, of course, you have tons of like art references with the Magritte painting and the Botticelli painting and the John
that
Lennon
crazy.
Photo, and I don't know what else.
Frida Is that how you say it? I thought it was Botticelli. It's Botticelli?
Botticelli, excuse me.
You're Is it really right. though? Oh my god, am I right for once?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Botticelli, if you look like behind the scenes on how they like created that, it's really cool.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
On Instagram, I think like one of the set guys like just showed how long it took and like it's really dope. Like Hunter's just like laying in like a pool of water and they really did like create that whole thing. So like none of it's like just like on Euphoria, everything's like built by hand, like
yeah,
like CGI or like, you know.
No, it's always like practical effects, which is nice. They do a good job with the practical stuff on this show.
I was cracking up at the Brokeback Mountain moment.
With little Sebastian in the background looking on. Yeah, I really liked the Snow White one. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, super fun. Different.
Yeah.
They haven't really done any cartoons other than season one when they did like Cats fan fiction.
Oh yeah,
that one's so funny, the 1D, the One Direction.
Yeah,
well, we get a Rue's squeaky awkward orgasm. Fake orgasm.
Yeah, Rue fakes a horrible orgasm,
which like we've all done this. Like
I haven't done this.
Really? Never in your life? No. Not once?
No.
Wow. I mean,
generally, guys,
I don't think
need
it has
to
be offensive.
Or it's very obvious. Like, you can't, it's hard to, like, fake orgasm as a guy because it's kind of,
yeah,
you can kind of tell.
Well, I would say maybe for you personally. I think everyone's different how they, like, your sex life is very complex, right? Like, everyone has a different vibe, but, like, I don't think it's offensive if you fake an orgasm. In this case, it's offensive because Rue's, like, high as fuck and she's not, like, engaged. Like, that would piss me off if I was, like, doing the work. Like, I'm down, like, in the pussy and you're, like...
down in the trenches.
Yeah, like, just say,
World
like...
World War I style.
Just do the courtesy and say, I'm too fucked up. Like, we've all been there. I've had nights where, like... And you know what I mean? Like, I've just been like, I'm too drunk. It's gonna have to happen another time. And that's fine. Like, you should do that. So I get it, but... Yeah, she's down in the trenches and Rue just fucking fakes it. But I don't think it's offensive if you fake it because sometimes you just like want to please your partner and you're like, all right, they're like into this, so I'm just gonna like and make it great.
I don't know.
But
I think
Rue
sus,
failed
but
at it though.
She wildly fails at it.
All right, so Rue does this like incredibly just beyond awkward orgasm. And all I'll say to that is like, I don't have a problem with people fake orgasming. Like, sex is sex. Sometimes you have mental blocks. Sometimes things aren't going your way or vice versa. Like, it happens. Or maybe you just want to be, like, courteous to your partner and give them the win for the night. But, like, it's very clear that Rue is just, like, totally tuned out. She's fucked up. So, in this case, it's not cool. Meaning, like, she's faking it out of, like, selfish, like, She should have sat up and said, I'm fucked up, or this isn't working for me. Because Jewel's down there, like, doing the dirty and, like, doing it well, and that sucks.
My thoughts on it are that, like, a one-off isn't generally problematic. No. But I think that overall, like, transparency is better. So, like, if you're not into it, I think you should just say, like, you're not into it.
Yeah. Or, hey, do it this way. Or
especially if it's someone you're in a relationship with. Like, yeah. I think it's not healthy for either of you if you keep faking it because they think they're doing great.
Totally.
So things aren't going to get better unless they, know they're not.
And Jules and Rue are kind of learning that, right? Like, they're navigating through, like, their sexuality together. Like, there's, you know, this is, like, very new to them. They're, like, yeah, even though we've been, like, watching them for a whole season, this is, like, the first season we're really seeing them, like, have sexual interactions. So it's just shitty that, like, Jules, when she, it's, like, flip-flop, right? Last season, Rue was all in, very vulnerable, and Jules was kind of, like, not out of it, but doing her thing. And now, like, Jules is all in, super vulnerable. Like, you can tell. Yeah. And Rue's like, she's literally, like, physically out of it.
Well, faking an orgasm is the least of Rue's crimes at this point.
So then at that point,
we can both agree on that.
We get the shocking kiss, Jules and I always say everyone's name. I was going to say Dominic.
Jules and Elliot.
Jules and Elliot.
Which we called last week.
We did. And I hate
not that that's some, like, big achievement. It was kind of obvious.
Yeah, it was kind of obvious. But I hate that I, like, kind of like them. Like, and I mean it from, like, this moment. Not because I know the whole episode and what happens later. I was kind of, like, into it. I was like, oh, like, I could, oh, I hate that I like this right now. Because usually I'm such a rules, like, rules for life. Like, nothing can intervene. But I was kind of like, Jules is having fun, and I don't know. I feel like Rue's just kind of fucked her over this season, so I guess that's why I'm kind of like, she deserves a little, like, a break and, like, some happiness.
Not a fan of Elliot, but as we've all seen, he does significantly redeem himself somewhat. I don't know that he redeems himself, but he establishes that he has some
integrity.
Strong integrity and moral character. So I don't, like, hate him, but I still don't particularly like him.
We were also joking.
Obviously, like rules is out the window. Like, Rue's completely, like, torpedoed that. So I'm not over here being, like, some rules diehard. Unfortunately,
I know. I wish.
A bummer to say, but, like, Rue has completely, like, made that an impossibility in the near short term. So
yeah, she's really going through this.
I can't really, like, be, like, upset at Jules at this point.
That's what I mean. Like, I wasn't, like, mad at Jules. Where normally I'd be like, no, like, pissed. But I wasn't mad. If anything, I was like, who could blame her? Honestly, I'd fucking make out with Elliot at this point because Rue is like a fucking dry towel. She's like,
she doesn't even know that Rue's on drugs at that point.
Well, also,
like, extra, like,
I wrote this down in my notes and I also saw it all over Twitter. So I feel validated in it. The whole episode, I was like, I don't want to shit on Jules, but how does she not question Rue's state of mind? I mean, Rue looks, there's all these tweets of, like, really funny memes of, like, a literal, like, a cube with, like, a face, and they're like, Jules, like, not noticing Rue looking like this every day. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of how I feel.
All the memes slap the, like, silly stoner eyes.
But you made
things.
A good point, which you should talk about on here.
Yeah, I was about to, but I think probably a lot of that is, like, an ignorance is bliss thing. Like, Jules went through so much to get back to a place where she was like, I'm into, like, Rue, like, I want this to happen, and Rue was allegedly sober at the time, so it was, like, one of those, like, technically on paper, like, we can be together, and she wants to be together, and even though there's, like, hella red flags, she really wants to be together, so it's easy to overlook things in those moments, even though she probably has that voice in the back of her head, like, Rue's been acting all over the place,
well,
so I'm
love.
Sure that she has something, like, giving her red flags, but...
And they're, like, in love. This isn't, like, a fling, like, they've said it many times, so when you're in love, you often, like, overlook all the red flags there could be, so even if you see it, you just, when you love someone and really care about them, you'll give them every excuse, so she's probably like, oh, she's just a little high on weed, like, she's doing her thing... She's being cool in front of Elliot, but yeah, the whole truth or dare, though, was funny when she was, Elliot's, like, making out with Rue, and she's like, okay, like, your 10 seconds are up, like, Jules definitely gets, like, more jealous, but I think that's just because Rue's so fucked up that
Rue's
she can't even.
Rue's too fucked up, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, wow. So, the triangle just continues to get more and more insane.
Yeah.
I don't know. A lot of people are here for it. I saw on Twitter too a lot of people being like, I'm kind of here for like the threesome. Like, I like the dynamic. Like, they should all date.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like the polyamorous, potentially that was Elliot's end game all along, was to get both of them.
You were saying, like, lucky bastard. And he is. He's got, like, the two hottest women ever.
That guy definitely. Dominic is a lucky dude.
He is.
But, yeah, I mean, it hurts, like, I think that they really go to, like, the extra length here with that opening montage of all the, like, art-inspired, like, love scenes to really, like, hit you extra in the gut with, like, how real their love is and how fucked it is that, like, Rue's, like, unavailable because there is, like, something, like, special there. Like, they didn't show you that for no reason. Like,
no.
That was, like, very much, like, a testament to the fact that there's, like, real, like, serious love there, but it's just so fucked by Rue's drug addiction that there's no way. So they really, like, extra hit you in the gut by putting that in there.
I know.
Showing how awful it is.
Well, my favorite part of the... Well, actually, no, I have so many favorites, but my top favorite is definitely Maddie's birthday party. It's... I would like to say it's lit, but it's, like, lit in a bad way. It's not a good lit. But, yeah, we kind of get, like, you know, they're kind of showing us, I think, in this episode, correct me if I'm wrong, too, I feel like the whole Nate and Maddie thing's kind of fucking with my head because they're going a little deeper. I feel like season one, you see the surface level, just extremely toxic, beyond abusive relationship, which it still is that, don't get me wrong. But I feel like in this, they're not only trying to give Nate a little more, like, humanity, but they're showing a little more of, like, a softer side. Meaning, like, even when they're talking outside, I didn't get that calculated vibe I always get from him, even when he's talking to her. And she's like, did you ever, like, did you know that, like, I loved you? And he's kind of like, I don't know. And he's very, like, no emotion, but he's not evil. So it's, like, very trippy to me because I'm so used to always being, like, fuck Nate, I hate him. But even when he's with her, he's like, you seem really comfortable here. Like, he's talking to her like an old-time friend. And I'm like, buddy, you choked her. Like, why are you here at, like, her job? Like, coming in all smooth, drinking Vove, like, which, by the way, this should be drinking Cooks. I hate that they're drinking Vove.
Yeah, right. He's really betraying Cal.
In his, like, Abercrombie knit sweater, like, trying to be all smooth, like... I get that he has motives. He obviously wants the disc. There's a risk there. So I see the underlying, like, there could be an alternative motive. But a part of me is like, this sucks because Maddie's, like, doing better. And he's about to fuck her shit
up. They have a strange dynamic this season. And I'm not sure where it's going. But it's very strange.
But do you know what I'm saying about Nate, though? I feel like they're making him a little, not soft, like, it makes sense. I'm not mad about it or have much of an opinion, but I feel like he's not as, like, cold and, like,
he's
pure
very
evil this season.
I don't really know yet. He's very passive. I think we
That's
can say
I'm saying,
he's
passive. Like, just quiet and, like, existing.
But he's so, like, emotionless that it's hard to judge, like, where he's at or what he, like, wants or is thinking ever because he's being very passive about what he's doing at the moment. He's really just kind of, like, sitting back, and it's hard to say if that's, like, because
calculated
he's, like, plotting.
Or, yeah.
Or if, like, he's just in some kind of state where he doesn't really know what's next, so he's kind of drifting. And
yeah.
I don't really know yet.
Because season one, he's, like, a knife to Jules' throat, he's choking Maddie, he's slamming Cal's head into the floor, and then in this episode he's like you said, very passive. Like, every episode so far, I'm like, is Nate like...
But on the flip of that, we have Cal, like, giving, like, big heavy indications that there's way more to Nate than we even know.
There's a lot.
Which makes me think that, like, this is not necessarily as innocent as it seems.
You being such an anti-Maddie, we'll see. Are you still, like, not a fan so
no.
far?
No, not really.
Really? Despite, like, her kind of become, like, despite her being a better person without Nate, I would say. Like, she even says it. Like, in that scene where she's like, I loved you. Did you not, like, notice? And then she says something like, you know, I'm not, like, a bad person. You just brought that out of me. I don't remember exactly how she says it, but he says, like, it's weird seeing you not cruel. And she's like, I learned that I'm not cruel. I just was with you.
Even that, I don't know that
You don't agree?
I don't know that I know that, because what we've seen of Maddie's past is pretty savage.
Yeah.
So I don't really, like, know that I think that that's true or not true. I don't know. I think Natty and... Oh my god.
That's like Nassie
fucking
and...
Fucking hell.
Not Nassie names. And... What did I say? Yeah. Kayla or...
Kate and Nassie.
Nassie. Wow, you fucked it up too. You're like Nate in this moment when he's yelling at Cassie and he's like, Maddie. I mean,
Maddie,
Cassie.
Cassie. Nate. Massey.
Nassie. Natty.
Natty. God damn. I think that they're both in a difficult to read place right now. I think Maddie's maybe a little more empathetic this season, but I also don't really know. Like, neither of them have been exposed to like high drama like situations where we've had like some like tests of like where they're at morally, so it's hard to like, it's hard to say.
I feel you.
I think they're both kind of obscure in their like motivations and where they're at this point in time.
I like the Cassie Nate like interaction in his room. I was dying.
Hate Alex serial and I killer bathroom.
Yeah, you hate a serial killer bathroom.
Terrifying. That's a kill room.
I was cracking up at his IKEA photo of like a military jet above his bed.
Classic.
His room could not be more like IKEA, just mundane, like boring ass, like jock room.
If there's any signs that Nate really is like a sociopath serial killer, it's definitely his bedroom.
Well, it's also him rubbing. I also wrote this in my notes. Why the hell is Nate rubbing his leg over and over while talking to Cassie? Is he lotioning? Paige, it?
He's an athlete.
Well, he's like, do you see that? How he's doing that though? His leg. I mean, the whole time he's talking, he's like massaging his hairy leg. Too.
Yep.
I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
I don't know what that's about. Nate just feeling himself, you know?
He is feeling himself.
The serial killer bathroom. Getting lubed up.
I feel really, really sorry for Cassie just all around, but also particularly in this moment because I think when you have, like, it's so clear she does not have confidence because of her dad leaving and her never having anyone validate her. Like, she just, we've already talked about it. She's got daddy issues all across the board, which usually leads to intense insecurity. Mm-hmm. That's what I've learned from, like, my own experience and other people's experiences. Yeah. And I feel like it's sad because a part of me, like, wants to, like, believe in her when she's like, oh, you don't think I can be crazy? You just fucking watch. Because I do believe that Cassie has the capability to be a strong person. But it sucks that she's just, like, not there yet. It's like, I see it. There's the potential. It's not fake. Meaning, I don't think when she says stuff like that, that she's being, like, bullshit or, like, stupid. I think it's there. There's a fire burning. Like, she's like, you're a piece of shit, and I'll go crazy on your ass.
I was about to say, she had me sold on it at that point. I know. I thought the rest of that episode.
But then he was like, I love you, and she was like, yep, you do. She left the house, and I was like, but she's not like Maddie. She's not confident. Like, Maddie would be like, yeah, you fucking do.
Oh, I didn't think... I thought she was just like, that's bullshit.
She was pleased.
Like, I know you're full of shit.
No, I think... No, if you watch her facial expression when he says, I love you from the stairs, she looks happy. Like, she
you
looks...
Think so?
A small part of her looks like, I knew you were gonna say that. Meaning, like, she's playing the game. Like,
I thought she was like, you're full of shit. Like, and you thought this was gonna stop me leaving. And then she leaves and she's like, fuck you. Like,
I mean, good for her leaving. Yeah, no, I think we're both right. I don't know which one's correct. It's just our own interpretations. But I saw that a little glimmer in her eye was like, this is what I wanted. Meaning, like, it was goal-oriented. Like, she did all that drama for him to rush to the fucking stairwell and be like, I love you. Like,
I mean,
and you know
why
I say
that?
He
says it like he's half asleep. Like,
but you know why I say that? I'm not proud of it, but I did this shit. So that's how I know. Like, I was her when I was growing up. Nowhere near her level of, like, scary, insecure. But, like...
Right.
I would fuck with guys like that growing up in high school. I'd be very like, oh, you just watch. Like, you better fucking...
You manipulator.
I was, though. But then they'd come crawling on their hands and knees, and it is, like, a good feeling, but it's not right. Like, that's what high school teaches you, though. You learn as you grow older that that's not what you want, but in the moment, you feel very, like, fucking
powerful.
Well,
we
know
Nate's not gonna be crawling on his hands and knees to Cassie, but...
I don't know, though. I feel like in that moment, he kind of was, because he just screamed at her, and then he said, I love you, which is, like, that's...
He's just trying to control her. It's
you
just
think?
Like, that's the absolute... He says it like he's half asleep. Like, it's the absolute, like, bare
minimum.
He's like,
I love you.
He puts in zero effort. He's saying it purely to keep her from going off the hook.
And telling Maddie,
you've, acted
point.
Like you're about to be completely psycho. He's like, I'll just say I love her to, like, you know, throw that
shut
out
her
there
up,
and,
yeah.
like, get her to, like, be on board and not screw me over.
I didn't think of it that way. You're right, though. He's doing damage control.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
fuck.
I saw that as a total
damage
control. He throws that bone out there like he's like barely cares. She like thinks about it for a second and then she's like, nah, I don't buy it and dips. That's how I interpreted that
scene. No, you're right.
But yeah, I do agree with you. I really like in that scene I bought that Cassie was about to go fucking crazy and I did believe it. And I thought at the party it was going to go down, but then she kind of crumbles and can't really follow through. But
no.
I was convinced. She had me convinced that she was that crazy.
Same. Also, obviously, this is talked about so much, but, like, I'll say it right now. Like, I actually genuinely, not because I'm a Sydney Sweeney stan for life, but I really do think, like, I hope she gets an Emmy for, like, Euphoria this year. I feel like she's done enough work now where she's, like, in the... You know, I don't want her... I don't want her to win an Emmy for White Lotus, and I have a bad feeling she'll be nominated for that. White Lotus. I want her to win for Euphoria. So I want, like, you know, I just want her to do well, and I feel like in this... She's definitely, like, carried this. I think all of them are amazing, but, like, her part in particular has been the most emotional.
She has the real, like, high drama, high emotion, like, role of the season.
Yeah, and so it's not far, easy to do that.
She's done great.
It's not easy to do that, and she, like... She makes me feel uncomfortable. I'm like, fuck, you need to let her therapy, like, now yeah, and forever.
She's completely off the wall, and she's selling it.
We get this, like, amazing scene where Cal comes down with his little fucking head wrap, his toilet paper, like, head wrap. He's cracking up, is where we get the Mr. Big Balls.
Yeah, he called Nate Mr. Big Balls.
What else does he say? He's like, you and that he's dick,
like,
swinging.
Or... I see you, like, swinging dick, like, big winner, like...
I also like how Nate's dinner. Just, like, signing his card to Maddie, like, with his Tiffany bag, and he's just, like...
Just completely ignoring
him. He's just like, fuck you, dude. And then he goes, wear your seatbelt. And then Cal's, like, walking away, cracking up like a manic
lunatic. Yeah, Cal's like, okay, dad.
Cal is, like, I'll already call out the superlative. Like, he's the bae of this episode. Cal's the star of this episode,
for sure.
He is so funny in this. Like... Hilarious.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we get all these, like, flashes, right? We're back to, like, Elliot, Rue, and Jules playing their little truth or dare.
Yeah, truth or dare.
I dare you to lick my
classic
tummy.
Classic high school shit. Yeah.
It's like when you'd be in the hot tub and you'd play, like, let's play the finger game where you put down a finger if you'd done something dirty. Like, they're definitely, like, doing that type of shit.
Yeah, they're being very high school.
But I kind of like seeing this. I already said that last time.
I mean, they are
like
in high school, so it's fine. Like, I'm not mad about it.
But... So, why do you think... I was going to ask you this. I took a note. I forget. Like, why does Elliot not do the line that Rue left him? Is he just not feeling it?
Because he's feeling bad about Jules. Now he knows Jules.
Now he knows
and is close to Jules. And now he feels shitty about, like, facilitating Rue doing drugs, like, the whole
behind
time
her
they're
back.
Together and stuff. So I think he's like, ugh. And I think he also likes Jules now. So he's like, I don't want to be, like, hella fucked up around Jules and, like, not have her know. Like,
yeah. No, so I get it.
Yeah, he's just feeling bad about it.
Well, that's good. Like we said, he has some integrity, and his character does, like, we're okay with Elliot now. Like, last week, we were like, fuck, we were really, like, I made a whole post on Instagram about how much we hated Elliot. So now I'm like, I kind of have to, like, I'm not going to act like we love him, but we're good with him.
I think he's always had bad motivations, and I think he may still have bad motivations, at least partially, but he has also shown that he has, like... Yeah, like you said, he just has integrity. Yeah. So I'm not really, like, mad about it anymore. Like, he's just trying to get it in. And Rue, honestly, gave him, like, a massive opening. Like, Rue is not, like, satisfying Jules.
It gave him this, like...
mad that he's stepping in a little bit to a certain
He gets
point.
To support Jules without feeling guilty. Like, that's the best position to be in if you're, like, yo, I'm with this girl. She's cheating on her girlfriend. But also, like, she's really sad, and, like, that girl's not for it. She's not there for her, so, like, here I am, the big savior, like, lay in bed with me.
Yeah, like, right, exactly. That's what I mean when I'm, like, I still don't necessarily trust his motivation, but at least he's, like, a stand-up dude, like...
Yeah, he is, but also, like...
Or in cheaters, some, in cheaters some
gonna
respects.
Cheat. Yeah, I don't know. I don't like that he's, like, interrupting their relationship, but I get it.
Like, yeah, I don't either. I mean, that's what I mean. Like, his motivation this whole time has been pretty questionable. Like, why is he involved with them at all? Like,
yeah. And this whole, like, let's go steal alcohol, that was, like...
Dude.
It's very high school.
Poor choice.
Funny, though. I mean, nothing happens of it that's that, like...
Yeah,
Dad.
But that car window, that costs probably, what, like $100 to $200 to replace, and they got, what, like a $15 box of, like, White Claw out of
it? Okay, not just White Claw, Black Cherry. Let's just take a minute here. You go into a gas station, you have
a plethora,
and Jules goes for the Black Cherry White Claw?
Jules
not even Cooks?
There's only, like, what, how many cans are in those things? Like
not even
12, 16.
24 sometimes.
No, those are the really big ones. Like, there aren't even that many cans. Between the three of them, they're not even going to get drunk off that.
It was just dumb. And honestly, like,
maybe
it's fun.
Maybe we just have a high tolerance.
In high school, you're dumb as fuck. You do shit like that, but also poor choice in alcohol.
Why didn't they just go to Fez? Fez would just sell them alcohol.
I think the point was to be, like, fun and daring. Like, sometimes it's fun to do stupid shit.
Yeah.
And honestly, it was fun. Like, they clearly were having fun in the moment, but then it takes a turn. Because Rue's a real asshole.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, Rue's
I mean, we can just skip to that part. Rue is, like, They get to a point where they're like driving away, and I don't know what it is, but I think Rouge is acting kind of weird. Oh, she's drinking, and yeah, she's Elliot's like, you can't drink.
Don't drink, like.
And then Jules is like, "What the fuck is going on?" I'm very like out of the loop, but I didn't realize that even in this moment, Jules still doesn't know about the drugs. She's just kind of like, "What's going on?" But Rue is like,
that's why
real
he doesn't
dick.
Push it too hard. He's like. He, like, brings it up, but he can't really go further on it without, like, revealing that Rue's on drugs. So he doesn't, like, go too much further, but he, like, still says something because he's like, dude, you're gonna die. Like,
don't don't drink that Black Cherry White Claw, Rue.
I think anyone's gonna die if they drink Black Cherry White Claw, to be fair.
But yeah, that's, like, the most tragic part, right? Because she literally says, like, leave me alone to Jules, and it's, like, harsh. It's not, like, drama. It's fucked up.
She's way mean.
It's really sad, but it's also, like, it's just a classic tale of an addict. Like,
Even on the, like, last week we already saw, like, the depths to which Rue was willing to, like, fuck over the people she loves for her addiction. But this week I think the, like, sexual aspect of it was, like, like a new layer of, like, darkness. Like, I feel like
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I feel like anytime that's in a movie or something where someone's, like, just, like, ruined, like, sexually from, like, drug use and they're just a disaster, like, that's, like, sometimes almost like even darker, or can just be like very like unsettling and like creepy
for sure.
Like Mulholland Drive, like when that whole scene, oof,
yeah,
dark,
heavy,
like super
very
dark.
I got some like of those vibes in this, the very like drives through the canyon, the lighting,
the
dark like horror aspect.
Speaking of like the use of like film was super like obvious in this episode,
really
with
pretty
the lighting, like it was very clear that there was a lot of that grain on the really dark shots. And I also love that, like, I love the lighting this season. They've transitioned from like the real like neon heavy stuff to this real like
glowing
inky black, like incandescent light, like chiaroscuro thing that really goes with like the, like, especially in this episode, I feel like it goes with the real heavy like traditional like art like vibes.
Yeah, they nail it though.
And like you said, it's a little horror, especially like the whole birthday cake scene definitely looked like a
horror movie.
Like,
so pretty though, like so well done.
Yeah, for
everything in this, like when Cassie's dancing with the balloons and getting like strangled, like it's very like artsy, and like some people could, that's why I think Euphoria is not for everyone, because I always say this, some people watch Euphoria. So we had someone write in, I was literally pulling up my phone to look at it, someone did like a, they wrote into us and quote unquote like changed my mind, bitch, which is what we do. I'm not trying to like jump to it, but they were pretty much like, we disagree with you. We feel like this season is a lot of drawn out dancing and like experimental, and we're not into that. Like, I can't fuck with the pacing. It has great moments, but I want more dialogue and less of this like artsy shit. And I'm only saying that right now instead of putting that at the end, because I was thinking this is why I liked this episode. And I feel like that's where Euphoria doesn't like sit with everyone. I don't think it's this like CW show that everyone's supposed to just like. It's very tailored to people like you and I.
Well, that's why
that
I
can
like
appreciate
Euphoria.
Real depth and art and complex storylines. And so for
it's
someone,
it's just aspirational. It's aspiring to be more than like a teen show or a high school show or whatever.
It's not like light on its feet. There's a lot of shit that like, I do think you have to also have like a cinema background to appreciate Euphoria.
Ooh, hot takes from Paige.
I do think that. I'm going to be pretentious.
Some people
I think
would say that's a little pretentious.
I don't care. I feel like a lot of basic
you
people
have, to have a certain pedigree.
But a lot of basic people are like, I'm really not into like season two. And I'm like, well, and that makes sense, because it's not some like basic, easy plot line of like high school, like you said. It's a lot more deep. And there are like certain parts of it where like you have to appreciate like weirdness. You have to be kind of gonzo and like,
I think
you have to be like appreciating Cassie like strangling herself in cheap balloons and like the music and like the vibe of it to me is like so invigorating, and for some people that's like a turn off. They're like, this is weird, and you're like, well,
I think
you know what I'm talking about though.
I do. I think I disagree in that I don't think that you like need that background to appreciate or love what's going on. I think it can deepen your understanding or what you get out of it to recognize the influences he's pulling in, but I don't think that that's like a prerequisite to like what's going on and what's happening. I think it's just different vibes and different storytelling modes for different people. And I think like I mean, the reason I'm into Euphoria is because this element was present in season one just to a much smaller degree, and that's the only reason I was ever even interested, was because you got these flashes of it Yeah. Now on season two, it's out in like full display, and that's why I think I've really liked season two so much.
It more.
But in season one, with more of like the mix, I think there were a lot of fans that were probably on board for the other reasons that were it was a little more like high school like drama,
well, a little more pop culture too. Like the music was like Drake, like
yeah, it was all
Too
hip-hop.
Short. It was like all the stuff that you can relate to.
It was
to.
Real like fat. It was like making like fashion like waves. It was very like seen like trendy, like you know, mm-hmm. social media, modern, whatever. And this season's like drastically different. The influences are much less like on trend or mm-hmm. current, and are much more like pulled from like a rich yeah. history of like art from like this whole episode is like
based on
the whole beginning of the episode puts on display like what he's like influenced by. There's like, paintings, these like I mean cartoons.
Well, he talked about what
films,
was it, the Spanish like
all kinds of stuff.
What was it that he talked about? That Spanish murals was like his main inspo for this whole
yeah,
episode.
The shot with Cassie with all the flowers is inspired by these like Spanish
everything
Mexican,
though. He said the church,
Mexican like Virgin
yeah.
Mary murals, like so
the church, the swimming pool scene, like everything's very like Mexican mural,
right? And that stuff was very like present in season one, like I said, just to a lesser degree. So I think how much you're liking or not liking season two very much depends on how much you like that part and how much versus like how much you were there for like high school drama storylines, because those yeah. have been largely dropped to the wayside in favor of like something like
for sure
far more like conceptual. And that either
well,
works
that was
for
my hot
doesn't.
Take. I'm sorry. That's just how I feel.
Yeah, but I before we move off of the subject, last thing I have to say is I think that the lighting in this season, this kind of like newer style of it, I think it complements the storylines really well because it has that like classic like Baroque art feel of like mm-hmm. very like high drama. It's very high emotion. It's like, you know, it's highlighting scenes of like lust and betrayal and mm-hmm. like, you know, real yeah. like familial like beef, like you know the yeah. the real like heavy stuff. Season one was like, you know, like who did this, who's blackmailing who,
it was more
who
mystical
has the sex
too.
Who has the sex tape, like it yeah. was much more rooted in like the current moment mm-hmm. and like and in like day-to-day like bullshit about who's going to jail, who's getting beat up, who's fucking
yes,
who.
Yes, absolutely.
This is like, you know, the real
next
high
level.
Drama like Shakespeare shit, like
yes.
And I think that the lighting really
well Labyrinth says
that.
The same thing about the score. It's not just the lighting. He said like season one fantastical, a little more like you said, like trendy, like fun
yeah.
whimsical, but this season's very like it's all spiritual, it's like very heavy like church tones,
yeah,
like
right.
It's getting a little deeper and not necessarily darker but just like a little more
yeah,
gospel-y,
a little beefier.
But moving yeah. on, I guess, from that little rant, sorry I just thought of that and went hard in saying that, but I just that's my hot take.
Go hard, girl.
But we gotta continue with the birthday party because this is like the iconic. I would say this was my like highlight of the episode other than Cal's like monologue. But this whole birthday party is insane. Let's first talk about Miss Howard and how she's just fucking Mrs. Howard. It's Miss because she's like not with the dad.
Miss Howard.
Yeah, she's like, girls, you're my girls. Like, let's have a good night tonight. And they're all cheersing.
That was all the moms in my hometown.
That's so weird. I was joking with Alex. I was like, that's kind of cool. And Alex was like, that's not fucking cool. No mom should be letting, like, high schoolers drink.
I mean, it's like, if she gets caught for that, you can go to jail. Like,
I know.
It's like serious shit. Like,
I know.
I don't think
in
it's
the ideal
like,
world, I'm like, oh, that's so cool. But then I'm like, you're right. Like,
I don't necessarily
dumb.
Think it's so, like, irresponsible. Like, I'm not like, oh, it's so bad to give, like, high schoolers alcohol. But I'm like, I don't think it's a very good as a parent. Well, a single parent of two girls to put yourself in, like, legal jeopardy. Like,
well,
over
and
something
she's
like
already
this.
Been knowing her daughters. She's already been questioning her daughter's state of mind. She's like, is your sister okay to Lexi?
Yeah,
and then she's
right.
letting her chug every alcohol bottle in the house. It's
yeah,
like,
right.
Come on, Miss Howard, like, quit twerking on BB in the living room and
yeah.
take care of your daughter.
Come on, lady, step it
come
up.
On.
Let's go. These kids need a mother. Lexi's about to write a play exposing her sister's private life to the entire school. Like,
for sure.
Step up.
I do think I'm planting a tiny seed. I won't dwell on it, but I thought the scene, because of us talking about Barbie possibly storming off set, whatever. I actually am in opposition. I think Kat's storyline is progressing pretty normal. Has she had a lot of screen time? No, but that's not to say there's 4 episodes left. Everybody needs to calm down. She might have more of a story. Also, I think that like this little moment between her and Maddie was needed and important when they're at the party and she like tells Maddie like her feelings about Ethan. I feel like it was cute because Maddie and her had that huge falling out in season one, and all you really see is them at prom kind of being like, mm-hmm. I'm cool with like sitting at the same table as you, but we never see them like rekindle. So I thought that was right. sweet that Maddie was like a little more human and like gave a shit and was like, girl, like if you feel that way, like you yeah. gotta go with your feelings. And I was like, see, that's where I'm a Maddie like stan. And Alex is like, I still hate Maddie.
I don't know if I... Well, this season, I don't know that it was cute. Hate her. Maybe she's gotten bumped down.
She was like, come dance with me. It's my birthday. Like, have fun. Like, she was being cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Give her a little... Give her some points.
As far as the cat storyline goes, I agree with you. There's still four episodes left, so I don't have a problem with it. And also, like, there's only 8 episodes. They can't, like, feature every single storyline in, like, grand detail. There's going to have to be, like, a... pairing down of storylines over time. Well, there doesn't have to be, but if you want to really like dive into these, you need to like pick the two big ones and like explore. You can't
rush them all into like one episode.
And I don't, but what I will say is that I think the only thing I find problematic is that we've just been like presented with this fact that like Kat is super unhappy with Ethan without that ever being like shown or explored. Like, what is going on? We have no clue. We've never seen why she's so miserable with Ethan. So I'm like, can we get like a little more? Like, is he bad at being a boyfriend? It doesn't sound like he is. No. She seems like he's perfect, but like, I don't understand where she's coming from with, like, being, like, unhappy with him, because we never see them together.
Totally.
Like, is she just, like, secretly at heart she needs some big manly barbarian guy, and that's what she lusts after?
Well,
and
I think that is it, though. Like,
she was into him in season one, though, you know? He was going
to... Yeah, but she told Maddie what she said. She said it's just too good, and I think from season one we kind of learned that that actually does make sense without having too much detail, which is that she was, like... fucking older guy. Like, she got exposed to like a lot of stuff. Like, I'm just like, I know it wasn't what she like saw as like, oh, love and like a good thing.
But I feel like they're playing it off like Ethan's a pussy, and he like, you know, he's a little inexperienced, but he also showed that he was down.
Yeah, like in Halloween he grabbed her into the bathroom.
So I'm like, well, he wasn't like, you know, Mr. like soft boy. Like, I know he was,
they're like not giving him enough credit.
He was a little like a bit of an early comer. Justice for Ethan, you know, like I know that happened, but like he wasn't just like a total wet blanket. I know he jizzed his pants
in like 5 seconds, but like give him a minute.
Like, he wasn't like Mr. like goody two shoes. Like, he was a little down for stuff, you know.
He was down
to like eat the latex nun costume out.
He was down. He was hot. So the birthday party is like, it's a shit show, but it's also, like, kind of fun. I liked this a lot.
Yeah, the birthday party commences.
It just keeps going.
It's a hot mess. BB's got an Adidas dress on. I love it.
She's twerking in the living
room.
She's
really swaggering in this episode. Every time they show her walking, she is, like, moving.
I know. I like it. She's just having fun. She's hustling. She's drinking. She's having a good time. She's keeping it together. Lexi looks super cute. I was, a lot of people were Lexi writing in and cute. Tweeting. It was kind of funny. They were like, Lexi's like too mature and cool to be like involved in the drama. She's just observing for her, like her play. Yeah, a totally. Lot of people were like, she's definitely like purposefully like standing back.
Oh, for sure.
And like not engaging to like make note.
That's what I thought the whole time. Like, she's just like, so I think she's so kind of like turned off by a lot of what's going on with this friend group that she's like, and she's so passionate about like the whole play that she's doing that she's really like taking that backseat role as like the like, the observer and the recorder.
Well,
and
we
she's
all know
just,
what
like,
that's like. When
she's
you're
documenting
like...
everything, and it's all gonna come back later.
For sure. And I feel like we've all been there when you're like passionate about a project. She's just very like all consumed.
Yeah, I love it.
But man, do we just dive into the hot tub scene? No. Wait, first, Cassie walks down the stairs. Wearing
bathing suited out.
This bathing suit, and everyone's just like, the fuck? Like, Kat looks at her, and I love when Kat goes, well, that was a... What did she say? That fit was a choice.
Something like that. I forget.
No, that's literally what she said. She's like, that fit was a choice. Yeah. Like, ooh, like, what? Yeah. Like, very baffled.
And then she's in the basement, like, classic rocking it with, like, a bottle of white wine, just like her mom, and some balloons.
But then she's also, when she's walking down the bathing suit, you and I were laughing, and we also want our listeners to do some research. What the fuck is Cassie drinking? What's that light blue, like...
When she's in
vodka
the basement,
ice.
She's drinking wine, well, like white wine. But pre that, she does have like a clear bottle of
like
something
Windex.
Blue that looks like some kind of like shitty wine cooler.
It's probably a wine cooler.
Yeah.
I guess it's not that exciting to do research, but I'm just like, I want to know what she's drinking.
I didn't
and there's purposely not
it,
a label.
And
they
I
have
a,
to do that.
I am a connoisseur of cheap alcohol, and I didn't recognize it.
No.
But...
But
what else? We got Maddie throws out some good hood wisdom to Kat. She says, she says people are retarded, which is genuinely great wisdom. Kat is always so worried about what everyone else is like thinking and doing with their lives and how to like approach her life based on all this stuff. And like at the end of the day, people are retarded, so just don't fucking think about that stuff and do I know. You. Like,
and honestly, that's like why I love Maddie. She's just like relentless. Like, I feel like she reminds me of you and I sometimes. Like, she just kind of says what she thinks, and she's like, you know what? I don't care that like retarded's a word we can't use right now. Like, shut up. Just listen to my advice.
I don't think she said that, but.
No, but I'm saying Kat, but did you hear Kat? But Kat was like, Maddie, like, I'm pretty sure you can't say that. And she just ignored her and kept going. And it's like,
did she say that? I don't remember that at all.
Yes, that's the funny part of it. Kat literally goes, Maddie, I'm pretty sure you can't say that. And she's like, whatever, they are retarded. She doesn't care because Maddie's just like in the moment. She's just really like herself. And she's not in front of like an audience. She's on like Insta Live, like using that word. Like, she's just kind of like cool and like herself. I don't know. I just always love Maddie for that reason. She's kind of unfiltered, and it's not always right, but like, I kind of like that she just owns it. She's not PC, that's for sure.
That is for sure. But you know, neither are we. So
we get the jacuzzi scene. Everyone's like trying to wind down from the night. I'm already laughing because I'm like, God, this is just such a shit show. But it's also something that would probably happen to you and I with our college friends. Cassie just fucking pummels into the hot tub, like falls in and is like, whoa, like happy birthday, Maddie, and like can barely sit. And everyone's just like, the fuck? Because everyone else is like very level, like chilling. Like,
yeah, no one's
maybe
really
had
like
two glasses of wine. No one is wilding out. If anything, everyone's on really good vibes. But I love this part because as much as I know you don't like Maddie, I like that her and Nate have this moment in front of everybody, meaning she's always kind of been behind closed doors with Nate, and she's right. He gaslights her left and right, and she has to report back to her friends and tell them, and they kind of roll their eyes like, well, yeah, he sucks kind of mode, which is still the same, but for them to like see it in real life, I think was important. They're never around when they're fighting, so it was kind of funny. But also, like, Nate was just kind of being normal. He was like, we're not together. And she was like, what was that? You said that, like, way too fast. And he was like, I mean, we're not. So in that moment, as a dude, were you kind of, like, siding with Nate? Like, he was just being logical. He was like, I mean, we're not together.
Well, she said it first. So it's like, he's just playing off of what you said. I mean, he fucked up in the sense that
he looked at Cassie before he said it. Did you see that, too?
Yeah, I mean, I think he fucked up in the sense that if he wants to get back with Maddie, that wasn't the right thing to say. He should have said fucking nothing.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not like he said anything so wrong.
But he doesn't want to get back with Maddie is the point.
Well, he's trying to kind of schmooze his way there right now, but she like, you know, she said
but
it
not
first,
in real life. He's
he
trying to, like you said, for alternative motives to get the disc.
I don't know if I even really know what his motives are at this point. He's really been a mystery this season.
He has,
and I have no clue.
Maybe, but he doesn't even know.
Yeah, who the fuck knows?
But it is funny because he looks at Cassie, he's like, no, we're not. And then Maddie's, she's not stupid, she's like, what did you say? Like, you were so quick, that was like a reflex. And then I kind of like that Kat is like, shut the fuck up. I have my own mind. How dare you, like, insinuate that I would just, like, side with Maddie, like, out of fear. Because
yeah,
Kat's never been like that with Maddie.
Yeah, right. I mean, I was happy to see Nate get roasted by them. And, like, they're not wrong. It's just that, like, he only said that because she said it first. Like, he didn't come out. He didn't jump the gun on it and be like, no, we're not back together. She said we're not back together.
Oh, I think he did. I think he did because Cassie was in such a poor state that he felt kind of sorry for her in that moment and was trying to cover it. Oh, I think so.
There is no way.
He looked at her when he said it. He was clearly trying to be, like, giving her the, like, no, we're not.
I don't think he gives a shit about Cassie.
Oh, I think he's juggling the two of them, and it's not working out well.
I don't think so.
I think
he
wants both.
Cassie at all.
He wants Maddie because Maddie and him have history, but I think part of him really does like Cassie.
Ooh, I don't know. I kind of think he's ready to dump Cassie in the dumpster, but.
Well, I think he is after the next part where she fucking projectile vomits everywhere. Then yes, after that.
I mean, even before that, him and Maddie were outside watching her lose her mind in the basement. He's just like, what the fuck? Like,
that was funny. And Maddie's like, he's like, she always like this when she drinks. And Maddie's like, when she drinks,
I think
it's
he's
really
all
tragic.
In on trying to get back with Maddie for whatever reason. And I think he just fucked up and jumped the gun and agreed with her when she said, we're not back together. And then he was like caught. Like,
okay, well, I will say this. Watch it again later. He looks right at Cassie when he says it. That's all I'll say. So if he's looking at Cassie, he's clearly looking for her, like, reaction. So I think that there was underlying tone to that.
Interesting.
But it's Cassie such good timing how when she's like, you said you wanted to marry me, have my babies, and then Cassie's just like everywhere like a psycho. And we watched the behind the scenes. It was kind of cute and fun to hear, like, how they had to, like, put a whatever, like, what was it, like a straw or something, like, in her mouth?
They had, like a mountain pack thing, like, in her mouth that connected to, like, some pouch, and when she bit it, it would, like, shoot everything into her mouth, and then she had to, like, spit it out.
I would have really vomited if that was me.
That sounds pretty disgusting.
I have, like, gag reflexes, and she also, like, you can see when she does spit it out, it's chunky. So I think it was, like, chunky.
It's chunky.
Well, she has chunky bits, I mean, it is, everywhere. Yeah. And when she's throwing up, and I'm like, can you imagine sitting there silently during a scene as your mouth's being filled with, like, chunky fake vomit? I would actually vom, like, on the spot.
No, that sounds horrible.
But it's a great scene. Everyone's, like, screaming. BB and Kat are like, fuck this. They, like, get out of the hot tub. That's probably one of my favorite Euphoria scenes. But the best scene is this. I'm not going to lie. I literally made a note of this. Fuck Miss Howard for fucking, like, pulling Cassie out of the hot tub. Like, I get it. She's the mom. But I'm like, that could have been the moment where Cassie spilled the beans. I really think Cassie was going to say, like, I had sex with Nate. I feel like she was about to just unleash it.
She was way too fucked up.
She was like, Maddie, I'm sorry. She could barely see. She was sobbing, I'm sorry. And her mom was like, honey, like, shh.
I think she was just feeling the guilt of fucking up her birthday. Well, she was feeling the guilt of the relationship with Nate. But she was, like, outwardly expressing that as, like, I'm sorry I fucked up.
Yeah, but I'll show you some funny tweets later. There were some hilarious tweets for, like, Miss Howard's, like, you know, taking her out the hot tub. And they're all like, Miss Howard, you fucking suck. Like, Cassie was about to, like, spill the beans, and you, like, she dead bodied, like, carried Cassie out.
Miss Howard dragging her out of the hot tub.
That is a great scene, though, because when you're, she did that so well, because when you're that fucked up, that really, like, is how it be. Like, you're just so, like, whoa! Like, she did it.
Dead weight.
I just think Sydney Sweeney captured what it's like to be in that state of, like, just pure, like, vomiting drunkness, where you are just, like, her face
mess.
Was like beet red, like, and my favorite's when she's going up the stairs and looks back at Nate, and you can tell Nate's just like, oh fuck, like, never mind.
I don't know, I think he's been done with her for a while.
I think we'll done with her after the vomit. I would be. That was nasty.
After that, he definitely is.
Nasty, but Cassie's losing her goddamn,
if he's still on board
mind.
After that, he's even dirtier than we thought.
Poor Cassie.
Woof. Well, we ran out of cooks, so we're back on the cocktail vibe.
Cheers,
so excuse the ice jingling around like we're fucking Trailer Park Boys up in here.
And I'm drinking out of a metal straw. It's real clanky, so sorry.
So what else happens? We got the is that it for the party scene? Is there anything
I didn't have any other notes other than like Sydney Sweeney killed it. Like the whole red face going up the stairs looking back at Nate. In that moment, I'm like, Nate, you gotta drop this. Like, you've gotta say bye-bye, Cassie Howard. Like, she has lost her goddamn mind.
Yeah.
It's sad. She's off the hinges. Oh, she's desperate. She's just done.
She's a sloppy Joe and a half.
But I love her character, so I hope she's like a phoenix that rises from the ashes, but I don't see that happening yet.
Yeah, I don't know about
she
that.
She needs some serious therapy.
All right, cool.
We have to dig into Cal, I think, next. Or should we talk about Rue?
Well, we have the whole Rue dream sequence. Rue gets, like, obliterated high. Maybe ODs again. We don't really know. But, like, in the behind the scenes, Sam is talking about, like, how Rue reaches this place when she gets, like, insanely high, where she can kind of, she's, like, kind of between worlds, and she can, like, interact with her dad in some way through these, like, crazy high dream sequences.
Well, I also like that he also brought up the point in the behind the scenes little clip. He said that you have to always remember at the root of it that Rue lost her father, and that's extremely significant to her drug addiction, but it's not the reason, but it is something that she always kind of goes back to. And I think often, like, throughout,
I mean, it's the reason she started doing drugs. It's not the whole reason she does drugs, because
that's,
we know
what I'm
that
saying,
she has
though.
Underlying other issues.
I'm saying they don't use that as an excuse throughout.
Right, but it's deeply connected to her drug use, because that was the catalyst for her to actually start using drugs.
Yes, 100%. But I think that's yet another reason I fucking love Euphoria, is I feel like they don't just point to one thing and go, yep, of course she does drugs, her dad died, like, duh. They didn't make it, like, this formula.
Yeah.
It's very, like, spiritual and that whole scene. Oh my god, I was absolutely, per usual, like sobbing. That was just so hard to watch because it's, first of all, it kind of brings you back to season one when she has those like funeral type moments where you don't know if it's her funeral or not, and her mom's giving the speech. It's very like, Jules is there, Elliot's there. It's kind of like, it's just like you're almost, you don't care about the details.
Labyrinth is there.
Labyrinth is there with his hand outstretched.
with his hand outstretched to the heavens.
I love Labyrinth.
Preacher Labyrinth.
I love Labyrinth. I also, he's just so adorable. You can't not love him. He said this was like his favorite moment in time ever. Like filming this was just like incredible because he's just kind of always been behind the scenes.
Yeah, it'd be pretty sweet.
So kind of cool that he gets to be in it.
On stage.
Yeah.
Little red tux.
And it, I will say this. Once again, Sam does a good job of like not making shit like cheesy or unbelievable. Like, I just didn't think that that was not like in any other show. I'd be like, that's fucking stupid. But in Euphoria, I'm like, that makes sense. Like, we don't have to know it's Labyrinth, but like, he's just like the church preacher dude. And like, she's in this like weird drug state. She's like hearing the music that's all throughout the show.
Yeah. And he's an analog for her dad. Yes. He's wearing the same color and she's embracing it's very him, symbolic. Envisioning it being her dad. And then at the end you have like the horrific pull away where she's just like staggering around alone in her room.
Like, which is like freaky.
So,
yeah.
So dark.
It's dark, but it's also, I don't know, it broke my heart, and the reason I was, like, sobbing was because I've, like, had moments like that. Like, as I've said on this podcast many times, like, I lost my dad at a young age, and there's many times where I've, obviously I'm not a drug addict, but I've gone through my, like, really fucked up phases in life, and when you've lost someone, it sucks. You, like, feel like you're, like, doing them wrong. Like, even if you don't, like me, I don't believe in, like, afterlife or any of that shit. I don't, like, think about it that way, but you still feel that way. You feel like
you, like...
What do
you feel like you're doing them wrong in those moments? Like,
because,
what is it that you
because
feel you're doing wrong?
Like Rue, I was a child. She was young.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have this, like, you only have a childlike relationship with your parent.
Mm-hmm.
So you want them to think the best of you. Even when you're an adult, people I know now that have parents, like, they almost, they don't, you don't always want your parents to know what you're doing. Like, you're not telling your parents you're out, like, projectile
so, like,
vomiting
like,
in jacuzzis
right.
and, like, doing drugs.
So when you're doing drugs or drinking,
well, you
like,
remember the part
guilt.
Where she's like, I'm not a bad person, I promise. And her dad's like, I know you're not a bad person. Like, no one ever said
right.
you're a bad person. So she's just feeling guilt for, like,
right.
the shit she's going through. And I can just strongly, that's like, it gives me like literal goosebumps because I've felt that way so many times and I'm not a spiritual person. I don't think Rue is either, but I think sometimes when you're elevated or like fucked up, drunk, stoned,
right.
whatever it may be, you do kind of connect to that shit. At the times, Alex knows this, like anytime I've felt really like I've really opened up and been vulnerable, I'm not like proud of it, but it's usually when I'm fucked up because you kind of get in this state of like, if you're not a really, like, open person about your emotions, that's, like, the time where you feel liberated and you can, like, feel those things. So
you
I get why Rue alone in her room is, like, slow dancing with her dad even though he's not there. Like, I get that. Like, it's dark shit, but, like, if you're not someone that's, like, openly going to therapy or talking about this shit...
Sometimes that's the only way you can access
yes,
those, like,
which is drugs for
thoughts. Or, like, experiences. Yeah.
We've learned that Rue literally can't feel things without drugs. She's said it many times. I don't feel until I do drugs, and that's why I do drugs. So it's dark.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that scene was so well done, but wow. Heavy as shit. But not as heavy as what Cal has to say in his next couple scenes.
Hot damn. Cal really is, like, a mood and a half this episode.
He's a character. So he's the main character energy.
Yeah, big time. Cal, I've, you know, Sydney Sweeney for the Emmy. Let's talk about Eric Dane for the Emmy.
Yes. And?
It takes a lot to whip out your prosthetic dick and piss all over the floor
the
roasting
foyer.
Every member of your family.
Well, also, I read an article right before we did this, and Eric Dane said that that monologue was actually, like, extremely difficult, and, like, they did, like, 16 shots of it in a row, but I was like, that's it? Like,
that's
meaning,
a lot.
Oh, it's long. A lot. Oh, I know, but he said, like, part of him manically laughing and kind of being crazy was because of how many times they did it.
Yeah, that's that Kubrick shit.
But he said it was really important, and he was on the same page, like, he was involved in like I want to do it again, like he wanted to like get it perfect.
Yeah.
So I think that speaks to like Eric Dane being a baller, like he because he really like he did such a good job, like that scene
when
was
I was watching
hilarious.
it just keeps going. You think it's like you think you've hit like the bombshell and you're like, holy
well,
shit.
Well, they don't cut. I and think that's all one scene, right? A monologue's usually like, they don't usually cut.
I don't think so. I don't know. I'd have to watch it again. But like, they just, you when you're watching that scene, you like hit the bombshell and you're like, holy shit. And then he just keeps going. And then he keeps going and he hits like bombshell after bombshell. And you're like, God, how long is this scene going to fucking go on? He's just like roasting every member of the family in like scathing detail, revealing every family secret. Like,
the only thing I have to say before that we totally forgot is when he takes off his shirt in the bar and is like, want to wrestle?
Well, yeah, let's back it up. So before this, Cal is drunk driving like a maniac, literally hands in the air, like no
like
hands.
A roller coaster.
Yeah, like he's in a roller coaster. He hits up his old gay bar. Yeah. He's like kind of like the like he's kind of like the beat like old queen like that's yeah. like seen better days, but the younger gays like kind of like
they're
respect
into it.
And like yeah. have some love and compassion for and. That guy's so sweet and, like, dances with him, and it's all, like...
That was cute.
It is. It's really, like, hunky-dory and, like, cute until Cal's, like, you know...
He's like, I was a state champion.
And then he's like, want to wrestle? Like, because he's so into, like, thinking it's his old bud.
Yeah.
His old bud would want to wrestle him, but this guy doesn't.
This guy's like, the fuck? I thought we were having a moment. No. Like, you were crying a minute ago, and now you're, like, wanting to wrestle?
Yeah. So, you know, Cal gets...
state champion.
He gets thrown out. Yeah, he's state champion, rips off his shirt. He does get the disco ball, which is nice.
Yeah, he does get that as he leaves. I'm mm-hmm. proud of him for that.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, as one smart person does when completely wasted, he gets in his car and drives down like the most dangerous
highway. Well, before
highway
he drives,
ever.
he gets the wink of approval from the old mural man, the old cowboy on the mural, gives him the secretive wink of approval.
Which was funny because when we were watching, Alex and I were drinking when we were watching, and I was like, Alex was cracking up and was like, oh my god, like the mural just winked. And I was like, no, it didn't. I thought Alex was fucked up. I was like, you're so dumb.
Yeah, you didn't believe me.
I was like shaming you so hard, and then we rewinded it, and I was like,
you completely thought I was full of shit. And I was like, no, seriously. And I had to back it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, the mural gives him a little wink of approval, and then he goes on his way.
I kind
of
love that.
Drunk drives his ass back home,
and then we get this crazy monologue. Then it all goes
fucking loose.
He's pissing in the foyer. He's whipping his little prosthetic dick around. And that was another funny part in the interview that I have to bring up. Of course, they were like, we have to ask, was that a prosthetic? And he was like, of course. I could not have lasted 16 shots of my dick out.
Yeah.
But he also laughed. He's always so funny. He was like, I could have done it, but no one wanted that. Like, he was down. He was like, I'll like do like, it, whatever. But like, I don't know if it'll look like good on camera.
Yeah.
But he does this crazy, like, I mean, I have to get my notebook open for this. I wrote down all the quotes because there were so many good quotes in this.
Good lines.
What was
even
your
before
favorite?
He gets home, at the bar, I forgot about how good it is when the bartender or the bouncer's like, I warned you like 10 fucking times not to wrestle anybody.
What does he say?
The
bouncer says that to
the bouncer's like, I warned you like 10 fucking times not to wrestle anybody. Like, Cal's, like, a notorious, like, just loves to, like, wrestle people, like, at the bar, and they're like, get out of here.
So funny. They're like, idiot. Get the fuck out.
But yeah,
so I like
home.
How after he's peeing, he just looks up at his wife, he's like, I'm lonely. And that's it.
Yeah.
And she goes, put your penis away. And Cal goes, no. I literally wrote this in my notebook. I go, after peeing equals Cal saying, I'm lonely. Marsha says, put your penis away. And Cal says, no, period.
Oh
meatball.
What's up, baby boy?
Meatball's out here yelling.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do we need to take a break? A meatball break?
Yeah, take a break.
All right.
Okay, we're back from the meatball break. Sorry, our cat is loud and vocal, and he also has opinions about Cal. And I think Meatball, the reason he probably yelled was because there's this quote that I also wrote from Cal where he goes, I'm a Rottweiler. Literally direct quote, I'm a Rottweiler. He was just naming, like, he was like, I'm a dog, I'm a Rottweiler.
He has some amazing lines. It's kind of, that's a little like
he
Joe
said
Rogan
I
energy.
Eat what I kill.
Yeah.
Do you know how many men I fucked? And his sons are just like, what the fuck? And the only sad part is the wife is genuinely baffled, and I didn't realize this till I read, sometimes you don't notice things until you like read the behind the scenes shit, but Eric Dane in this interview said that the point was that the wife actually never knows about his gay lifestyle. I feel stupid. I didn't know that. I thought maybe she knew, and that's why in that moment she was kind of like rolling her eyes like, like, or not rolling her eyes, but she was just kind of like, why right now are you doing this? Meaning I thought maybe since then they'd had like discussed it. Like once she said she was pregnant, I thought maybe they had a talk about it.
Got it.
But he says very clearly that like, no, this is the, he said like, Eric Dane was like, I feel bad for like the wife in the storyline because she really doesn't know like any of this. So she's having to find this out.
Right.
Which is shitty. Like,
yeah.
If your husband's just like, I am like lonely, I'm pissing in the foyer, like, I regret my son. I've been fucking men
our
like,
whole marriage. I've been fucking transsexuals.
Like, he's like, I've been fucking transsexuals, like, women, men, I don't care. And it's like, wow, that's a lot as, like, a wife to...
Oh, yeah.
Even though they don't have... It's very obvious that they don't have, like, this happy, like, go-lucky relationship, but it's still shitty to, like, find that out.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, boy. And then there's that other quote. He says, I'm a sexist chaser pig fucking creep.
Yep. Great line.
That is like...
I got real Joe Rogan energy from a lot of him during this whole scene.
A real
scene.
Meathead.
Yeah. He's obviously a little more open-minded than Rogan in his sexual preferences. But the Rottweiler stuff and like
and
the real aggro, like...
Yeah, he's like, I'm a dog. Like, he's real like,
he goes,
fitness, like...
I eat what I kill. Like, what the fuck does that mean?
What are you talking about?
What does that have to do with...
Like, you eat chili. That's not even like
I eat what I kill is probably... I feel like that's definitely a direct Joe Rogan quote, right?
It has like, to be. But, like, God. Also, we joked, Alex and I literally at the same time both looked at each other during the episode, and we were like, why is Aaron living at home? Isn't he, like, 30? He looks like he's, 35.
He looks older.
Like, no judgment. Maybe he really does. Meaning, like, we lived with your parents when we were, like, 30, so I'm
no,
like, I'm just kidding.
No, okay. When we were
20?
22.
Okay, 22, 30, same thing.
Yeah.
But still, like, we were just joking because we were like, he looks so much older than Nate. He does not look like a high schooler.
I think it's just because he's supposed to be like a burnout. Like, there's nothing going on. But yeah, I mean, he does get what I think is arguably the best line in the entire episode. He comes out and Nate's like, what's going on? And Aaron goes, Dad's standing in the foyer with his dick out. Which I just love. That's
so like,
I think that's like one
funny.
Of my favorite lines in all of Euphoria.
My favorite, well, not my favorite.
Which also, that's a meatball vibe for sure.
Our cat?
Yeah.
He just whipped his dick out.
Meatball is always standing in the foyer, always pissing in the floor.
Oh,
and
he
then,
misses the box.
And then later, he pisses on the floor, and then later when Cal's like, you two assholes can draw straws to see who cleans it up.
That's like me and you.
That is Meatball to us. He pisses on the floor, and then he looks at us like, you two assholes
you two
have to
figure
out who cleans up my piss, because I just peed all over the floor.
So in other words, we're Cal and Meatball is...
No, we're Aaron and Nate. Meatball is Cal. Meatball pisses everywhere.
Our cat Meatball is Cal.
We're left to deal with the aftermath.
My favorite, too, is when Cal out of nowhere is like, Aaron, do you know how much porn you have on your computer? I see like 8 people pissing in other people's asses. Like, you watch so much porn, your mother would be ashamed. And he's like, you hear that, Marsha? Like, your son watches porn. It's like, what? Where is this coming from?
Well, I like that part because
he's manic.
Well, it's funny though because he gets off the easiest. Everybody, Marsha, he's like calls Marsha like a freak and like a big slut, and he's like, you're still into that guy on Facebook, that camp counselor. He says Nate's like a total psycho mystery, and Aaron just gets off with being like, I don't like your taste in porn. And you're like, well, your porn taste is too hardcore for me. So overall, I think he comes out pretty good, like compared to everyone else. You know,
he
gets off pretty easy.
He does say to Nate, well, first he drops the real like gnarly bomb of, you are my regret, or my biggest regret. He literally looks Nate in the eye and says, you're my biggest regret. And Nate just says silent.
Savage.
Alex and I in that moment were both savage. Like, how have we never thought about this? Meaning we've always just assumed that Cal is Nate's biological father, but now I'm definitely questioning that.
I kind of think he still is his biological dad,
really?
But that Nate's crazy or something's going on with him.
In that moment, I was like, maybe it's this illegitimate child of the camp counselor that Marsha is like flirting with on Facebook, and that's why he's so like,
I don't know,
not into it.
Or he's adopted or
something. Yeah, there's something there.
I don't know. I think it's just that he's turned out crazy, but
we'll see.
But he does
also
have that...
said... Oh, sorry. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, earlier in the episode, he has a line that kind of indicates it's more that it's his kid, which is when he's like, you're a part of me that I will never understand, but I take full responsibility.
He also
I
said,
feel like that indicates it's more like his kid.
But to piggyback off that, he also says, I'm so sorry that I fucked you up with my double life. And he says that to Nate. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So a part of me is like, oh, weird. Maybe that was just because Aaron was born. He had to, like, be a father. But then after that, he was, like, struggling with his, like, sexuality, with, like, his life, his family. And then Nate was like, oh, surprise, we're pregnant. And then it's like.
No, I think that was an acknowledgement of the whole sex tape thing. I think he's like, I know now that you've, like, watched my, like, tapes Aaron and know hasn't. About my whole secret life. So I think that he is acknowledging, like, how much his, like, weird sex tape thing, like, fucked up Nate.
Yeah, that's sad. I will say that's the first moment where I do feel sorry for Nate, because Nate's just there quiet. And I'm not saying I'm, like, sitting there like, oh, boo-hoo, I feel so sad for Nate. Like, that's not how I feel. It's more that, like, in that moment, if your parent looks in the eye and says you're my biggest regret, drunk or not, like, that's...
I mean, that's savage.
That's hard to swallow.
Hardcore.
And Nate just sits there and kind of in silence once again, just kind of, but he's not, he doesn't, I don't know how to explain it. He does look pretty, I saw a hint of sad. Not sad, but
fucking crazy.
He looks crazy, but I also think he looked a little like, he's not shocked. I will say that. He didn't seem surprised.
No,
I think he already knows that. Yeah, he has a straight face, but there's going to be some shit that goes down. Cal, though, I will say, like, great, and I wanted to bring this up, which I don't think you know, but all over Twitter and everyone's, like, so mad. I don't get it. They're like, Rue's supposed to be the main character. Like, we don't give a fuck about, like, Cal and his backstory. There's all this drama about it. Yeah. There's, like, all these people, like, heavily...
That's weird.
Fans. Not people that matter, but, like, fans are heavily criticizing that, like, where's Rue? Like, where's Jules? She had her special episode. Like, where is she? What the fuck about Cal? Like, we don't need to see, like, a white male story.
Oh,
you know how it is.
Come on.
I know, it's so
Cal
dumb.
Cal and Nate were established as integral characters to the story.
I know, and you
have
to know their story.
One. They
I
were
know.
Always established as important characters.
I know. It's all bullshit, but I'm just bringing it up to you because I knew you'd be like, oh my god, because I was like, this is so dumb, but everyone's like pissed that Rue and Jules are kind of...
They're crucial to the story. They're the two main
villains.
But also,
Rue and Jules
so
are not on
important.
The back burner. They're equal. This whole episode, every episode we've seen is equally divided. This wasn't like the Cal... It's not like Cal's getting like... He got, what, 2 episodes of some backstory. Who cares? Like, people are taking this way too literally and just need to calm down and let the story play out.
I mean, I don't even feel like that's worth addressing. It's like, if you want to tell a story, like, in the long term, and you have a show format to do it where you have room, why would you not explore the background of characters that are significant
it's
to the
plot? It's also important.
Like, sorry, but he's a primary character, so... It's a disservice to the story to not explore his motivations and psychology.
Yeah.
Like,
not only is he a primary character, I think it's important to see people at an older age go through shit like this, not just young people, because guess what? That's a thing.
Yeah.
People at an older age have realizations, realize they're not happy, go through midlife crisis. That's normal. But anyways, I thought you would thought that was like kind of funny.
Yeah. Well, then
people are so dramatic.
It all wraps up neatly with Cal grabs the portrait with the third son, who is clearly, I really thought we were going to get the answer to the third mystery son, the little mystery bean son. I thought we were going
to
get the answer and we didn't, but
do you want,
he's
no,
clearly
do you want me to
of importance because he takes the portrait. He walks out and he writes off the whole family saying, this is farewell to the entire family.
He says, this is
which
farewell.
I love. That is so savage.
He says that? This
yeah,
is farewell?
Yeah, he's like, you've all like backed me into a corner. He's like, I'm an emotional man. Like, you've all like made me like, you've all like forced me to not make emotional attachments. He's like,
that
but
is
secretly
sad,
you gave me
true.
A way. He's like, secretly you all like gave me a way out. He's like, I'm free now. Like,
farewell.
Farewell to you all. Like, fuck. He's just like, fuck you all. I'm never going to like see you again.
Well, hate to burst the bubble of the mystery of the third son, but Eric Dane confirmed that he literally in an interview flat out that I read said, I finished the season. I can tell you I don't know anything about the third son.
What? Are they going to make
the
us
interview
wait?
Asked, the interviewer asked him, so are we ever going to get the storyline of the third son? And he said, I'll just be transparent. I don't know. And I also don't know what the story is behind.
Well, they're
it.
Obviously going to give us the story eventually because at this point it's become crucial.
I know.
But if it doesn't
happen
in this
season. But
I'm saying
he doesn't know yet. He flat out said he doesn't know yet. So
Jesus.
Sorry, Euphorians.
I can't believe we have to wait till season 3.
Yeah, baby little son isn't happening
fucking
season 2.
Hell.
So we'll end it off with like the whole tie-in of I was only gonna bring up the, you know, the Rue and Jules thing one more time because I noticed at the end scene you know, they do those really pretty shots of like Lexi in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
We also, I don't want to go too in depth because I don't want to go like too long into this episode, but we also see Fesca get some news from Mouse that I don't want to ignore.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a real brief scene. They're watching Invasion of the Body Snatchers, him, Faye, and Ashtray. And...
I love that they're all just always chilling, watching good movies. It's great. Yeah. And getting stoned.
Yeah, it sounds great. That's like us. Yeah. And then he hears from what's his name?
Mouse,
Custer.
Right?
He hears from Custer that Mouse is like, baby mama is looking into, like, Mouse's death and is like, what the fuck happened to Mouse? Which
fuck.
Doesn't bode well. They'd better have dealt with that body, right? But I feel like they probably didn't, like... Not well, to discount Fez.
Fez
looks
stressed. Pretty
good, but he looks pretty stressed. And if you had hit that body real good, you wouldn't look that stressed.
Well, he's probably just stressed because of Ashtray. He, like, that's his little bro, and he's the one that killed him. So he's probably feeling, like, the weight of, like...
I mean, if it comes out that they did it, Fez will take the fall for Ashtray, obviously.
Yep.
So,
which is why all of our fans are presuming that Fez is going to have a bad moment and die. And I
hope he doesn't have to go to jail or die for this. I really just hope they hid the body well, but they probably didn't.
I know. I just couldn't go without saying that. And then the only other point I wanted to bring up was this moment that you and I both separately thought of, which is... when Elliot and Jules are together and you see like two prominent scars on Jules.
Yes.
And when I saw them, I was just completely baffled. I was like, I just didn't even know what to think. I was just like, weird, I guess. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But you said did you do research and find out? Or like,
I heard people
presumed?
Saying that it was like Jules like cutting herself, which seems plausible given like the stress of the situation.
That's
and that they
sad.
Seem fresh, and there's no other excuse for them, so I'm assuming that that's correct.
Think she did in the shower or something? Like, that kind of thing? She just showered and... Oh,
wherever. Like,
that's
but yeah.
That's so sad. I hate that for Jules.
That seems probably right.
I also liked, at the end, when they show, like, the picture of Rue and Jules, and they show, like, Rue as a baby, like, running around. That sounds weird, because Rue as a baby is weird. But
okay.
She said... No, I just, like, I wrote down the quote. She said, I love you. I've always been with you before you were born until after you were gone. I love you. I've always been with you before you were born until after you're gone. I don't know why. I thought that was, like, weirdly poetic, but also, like, I couldn't tell what she was talking about. But at the end, she says, I love you, like, four times. And then she's like, it's always been you. But I was wondering, I don't necessarily think that's Jules. I was kind of wondering if it was, like, about her dad or maybe even about, like, her addiction. Like, I don't know. Like, meaning, like, it's always been with her before she was born and then it's still with her, like, kind of vibes. But maybe I'm reading way too into it. But she says it, like, it's very prominent because it's what this,
right.
It's what the episode ends on.
I interpreted it based on the opening sequence of, like, the Rue Jules love story as being in reference to Jules. But that may not be true.
I don't know. I thought, why would she be in love with Jules before she was born? I mean, that doesn't... I mean, not to
I mean,
be, like, not a romantic,
real... well,
but
because
like...
they kind of set you up at the beginning of the episode that it's real, this real, like, true love thing. This
like
real,
a Romeo
like,
Juliet
serious,
kind of
like,
thing.
Romantic,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Die hard forever, like, love thing. So, like, they
so
kind of set
Jules.
It up that way at the beginning, and that makes everything that follows more tragic. So, I don't know. I guess I interpret it as... referring to that, but it doesn't necessarily.
No, you're convincing me.
On it.
You're convincing me. I feel like that's very like Romeo Juliet vibes, but I think that's a good spot to end on.
Plus, that's their story, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Romeo and Jules, Rue and Julio.
Yeah, Rue and Julio. Exactly.
Romeo and Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet.
Juliet.
Beautiful.
Okay, we need to stop drinking.
Great.
Great episode, though. All around amazing. Let's cheers to that, and then I think it's time to get into superlatives.
Absolutely.
Woo!
Okay, superlatives time.
Yes.
Blazer. Best dressed.
Mine was a tie. I'm just going to say who I initially thought, though, which was Maddie. I feel like it was her birthday.
What outfit? Based
her
on
birthday
what?
Outfit. And I also, it's because I watched the behind the scenes.
Okay.
They said it was Marc Jacobs.
Yeah.
I liked the little M charm that was for Maddie on the
uh-huh.
sleeve. And I also liked her, like, her like rhinestone robe, like, when she was at home, like, nannying.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I don't know. I just felt like it was her birthday, so I'm going to let her take the cake.
Fair enough. I'm going to say Jules. I like the pants, the thong, like, sports bra situation with the eyeliner and the necklace.
The two buns were cool, too.
Yeah, about that. Although Cal gets an honorable mention for the head wrap. What a look. Iconic.
An icon.
Worst dressed.
Cassie.
Cassie. I'm actually going to go Kat. I thought the birthday party dress plus gloves.
Oh, I love
not
that.
Not working for me.
Oh, my God. Look at best dress. I put Maddie or Kat.
No, it wasn't working for me. What? The color was so drab and like lame. It was totally unflattering. And then the swimsuit she had on was like weird and like not well fitted. I don't know. After like looking good for a few episodes, I feel like in this episode they made her so dumpy. I mean,
maybe that's why she stormed off set.
Yeah.
Okay, but I loved her outfit, so I will argue like I put her as best dressed. Worst dressed, I just put Cassie just because she's a hot mess. I love her, but yeah. Like hot fucking mess.
Can't argue with that.
Bae of the episode, I said Cal.
Cal,
like he calls all the shots.
Cal fucking nails everyone to the wall and it's amazing.
He calls himself a Rottweiler, like that's fucking insane but hilarious.
It's something to behold. All right, what about your big purple dirty rat bastard?
Rue.
Yeah, Rue.
Because despite all my emotions, so despite all the feels, and I know she's going through it, meaning I obviously I'm not an idiot, I understand, like she's dealing with addiction, like that's not something to just go, oh, like,
of course,
like I understand why she's being a dick, but that doesn't dismiss like hurting someone, and she's hurting Jules.
Also a great time to mention the theory we had last week that Rue just got that entire suitcase of drugs just to do them was correct, which is just extra dark. Like, there's no way out. She has no plan to, like, recoup that money. No. She's just completely fucked.
She swallowed, like, she's just four gone. Benzos she's... as soon as she got home. It's
no,
like...
she's completely spiraled into, like, an absolute, like, no way out.
I know.
Like, pit. Like, she's fucked. So, yeah, same.
Class clown.
Cal.
Doll.
Pissing all over the family.
Wrestling
foyer.
The bodyguard. Like,
amazing. Wrestling the bodyguards. Yeah.
And just like chuckling like a manic psycho. Like even before all that shit, like when Nate was like packaging Maddie's gift, he was just like, like in the kitchen. Like, yeah. He was like, cheers to my dumbass son. And like being an idiot.
Yeah. Mr. Big Balls over here. Yeah. Fucking
Mr. Big Balls gets class clown.
Same. All right. Best song.
I already know yours and I agree with yours, but mine, to be like different, I chose Trademark USA by Baby Keem. Ooh, do you listen to Baby Keem?
Baby Keem, no, but he's gonna be at Coachella.
Yeah, he's like Kendrick Lamar's like mini me. And for my job, I like, you know, I don't need to describe it, but I uploaded like his whole tour for like my job the other day.
Cool. So Paige loves Baby
No,
Keem.
But I had to listen to it to like understand it and stuff. And I was like, I like this. So I was like surprised to see him in Euphoria because I thought he was more new, but I guess not. He's like lit.
All right. There you go.
It's a good song.
Mine was the Drink Before the War by Sinead O'Connor, which I'm probably pronouncing wrong because I don't know how to pronounce Irish.
I don't either.
Shit. But
it's good though.
Yeah, that's the song Cal puts on in the bar, the gay bar to dance to.
I thought it was an old, it sounds almost like an 80s like song.
I think
song.
It is.
It is? Yeah. Okay.
Sinead's from the 80s and 90s.
Oh, cool. Because I was going to say, it sounds like a throwback.
Yeah. Also love Need You Tonight by NXS.
There's a lot great of songs. Song. And I like the...
I like that Cal's like go-to band is NXS.
Love Like This Before. Yeah. That one I love too. That's a good one. There were a lot of good songs in this one. I also naturally love the James Blake Labyrinth song in the chapel. Like, that was lit.
Bleh.
Oh, I forgot to mention too, like, I know it's like minor, but I actually like really liked how the like episode ended on Cassie and that like weird rose scene. I know we kind of touched on it, but that was a really like impactful, like strong ending to like a psycho episode. Like her eyes are just fucking bloodshot red and veiny and she's just like sobbing. It's like very like intense. It's like a midsummer moment.
Yeah, it was good. I liked that.
It's a good, like, strong way to end,
fed
like,
into
a
the
psycho
real, like,
episode.
Arty, referential vibes of the episode.
Yeah, it was needed. It was good.
So needed.
So, I think it's that time for all Change right. My Mind, bitch.
Sweet-ass episode. Let's change pace and talk about last week's episode for just a second.
Yeah, and honestly, it's kind of a mixture, which is fine.
What do the people want us to change our minds on?
So the first one, a listener wrote in and said, tired of Euphoria fans when Rue starts exhibiting traits of long-term addict. Maybe it's because I grew up around crackheads, or maybe it's because I have common sense, but I was not shocked at all when she was talking about gaslighting her friends and family to hide her addiction. It's almost like crazy, but addiction ruins relationships, mental health, and life in general. Sorry if that was aggressive, but I will defend Rue with my whole being. So I will say this. I think what this listener was saying is we kind of talked about Rue being, like, annoying in that episode, how she kind of tricked and bamboozled Gia by being like, if I don't, like, smoke weed, I'll be suicidal. And you and I, like, agree that that was manipulative. So I think this person's, like, contradicting it, saying, I've been around, like, people who have drug addictions. Like, yes, you're, like, I get it, but also, like, that could be a real thing. Like, addiction does, like, fuck up your life. So I think she was kind of saying, like...
I don't know. I don't think we ever said that that was unrealistic.
I did. Just said that... I know I did, though, because I, like, listened and was like, did I say that?
Oh, really?
No, I didn't, like, say it like that, but I definitely said, like, I don't actually think she's suicidal. I think she's just saying that as an extreme to, like, get what she wants in that moment, which is, like, I'm sorry, but I'm high and, like... She wants Gia off her back.
So what's the change our minds there? Like, because that sounds like what she's saying, like, which is that, like, people that are drug addicts will go to any lengths, like, no matter how depraved, including, like, busting up their family.
She's defending Rue. Doing drugs. She's defending Rue. She says, I will defend Rue with my whole being. Which, in that moment, you and I were not defending Rue. We were like, she's being a real bitch ass. Like, she's using her family. She's doing some stuff.
I say move on because there's not actually a change our minds. We're both in agreement that Rue's behavior, which is that it's horrible, and we're also sympathetic to Rue and understand that her behavior is that of an addict, which is what this person also seems to be saying.
Agree. But also, sorry that you had to grow up around that. That sucks. Like,
yeah, I mean, if I've misinterpreted that, please let me know. I'm but saying, it sounds like we're all
I'm saying is at the end of that, like... It sounds on like a human level, I'm really sorry that you know about all this because of personal experience. That sucks.
Yeah, I just mean it sounds like we're all in agreement that Rue's behavior is a realistic depiction of what addicts will do to keep doing drugs.
Yeah, all I'm owning up to is that I was definitely like, I think she's just throwing the suicide to like get Gia to like feel bad for her. And she's kind of saying like, I don't think so. I think people really deal with that. Like, I've been around it. Does that make sense?
So it was all about the suicide. She's defending Rue.
Like, she's saying, like, don't say that. Like,
so the suicide threat wasn't fake. It was real.
It was real in that moment. It was, like, raw, just coming out of the seams kind of thing. Fair enough.
I don't know that...
I don't know if I, like, agree or disagree, if that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. I don't know if I know yet either.
This one's funny. Just a hot take. I have to just agree and not change your mind that Elliot is a piece of shit. And I just had to read that because that's funny.
Yeah.
Someone just said, hot take, Elliot is an absolute piece of shit.
I love the concurrence.
I love the aggressiveness. I
appreciate it, yeah.
Someone said...
Keep being spicy.
Someone said, I can truly see the change in Nate. I really feel like he is in love with Cassie, and he's obviously trying to sort out stuff with Maddie, but he really just doesn't know where he's at in life, and I feel like you guys always shit on Nate, but he really is trying with Cassie, and I truly do think they're going to have a relationship.
Interesting.
I love your podcast. Just started listening.
Oh, thank you. I think this episode probably disproves that more than like anything we could say, but I guess you and I interpreted this episode pretty differently in terms of Nate and his relationship to Cassie, so maybe not. Maybe it's still a big TBD. I don't know.
I think it's a TBD for me.
To me, this episode was like very clearly like Nate is not into Cassie. He's trying to like distance himself. He really doesn't care. It's like half-assed, but you interpreted things differently. So I'm not that confident in saying that. So maybe this is still kind of on the table. I don't know. I mean, like I said earlier, he's been very closed off. So we don't have much insight into where he's at.
The last one I have for you. This listener says, hear me out. The song that Lexi was listening to and riding her bike is really good. I know it sounds like screaming, but Laura Less is one half of 100... What is it? Gex?
100 Gex.
Gex?
Yeah.
Listen to Han... Crashed by a mallet high as fuck, and you'll see, with a bunch of cute emojis.
Don't have a problem with it. I mean, like, at the end of the day, I will always act like there is music that's objectively good and bad, but, like, that's clearly wrong. Music's completely, like, subjective to the listener, and hyper pops. Honestly, it's more unique. It's more for me than a lot of people. I'm kind of into a lot of it. That style that's a little more on the screamo-esque end of it really doesn't do it for me. So that song's not for me, but I see the point, and I don't hate it. Like, I like some 100 Gek stuff, and I do think it's, like, fitting for the episode. So a valid recontextualization of the use of that song.
I also like when people talk about music like that. Like, Alex and I were literally just joking before we podcasted that, like, I'm obsessed with Labyrinth. I think his score makes the show. Alex never shits on it, but he, like, often, like, sometimes jokes about it and, like, thinks it's funny. Like, he's just, like, all the, like,
and, like, I still find it a bit silly at times. It's a little hard to take it seriously in some of the scenes when they're just like, whoa.
Yeah, like, he doesn't like all the random, like, yelping in Labyrinth. But I, like it. So, like, I'm saying is music's just certain types of music are not for everybody.
He's like the, like, he's like gospel, like Migos. Like, he has, like, all his weird little, like, background, like, vocal, like, that's such a like, good description. Ad-libs.
Gospel,
like,
Migos is Labyrinth.
He has his weird little, like, yelps and, like, ad-libs that he, like, throws in. And I'm like, I don't know if this really does it for me, but.
Doesn't do it for Alex, but it does it for me. So I feel our listener. I get it. But thanks for writing in, everyone. That's so sweet of you, and
appreciate the responses.
Yeah, we got a lot this time. I had to narrow it down to only a couple, but maybe next week we can do some more. But this one was, like, a much longer episode because we had so much to unpack. Also, I think it's fair that this one was much longer because it's the halfway mark.
Well, I really like this mini, episode, like, season finale. This was one of my favorite episodes of Euphoria ever, if not my favorite. So
it had to happen.
It warranted, like, a thorough, thorough dissection.
I agree. Well, I think we did a great job, and I can only imagine what's going to happen in episode 5. I'm, like, scared.
Can only imagine.
Only fucking imagine. Well, should we cheers? I mean,
Can you imagine?
Oh my god, rumination?
Can you imagine?
I can rumination that next episode's going to be fire. Can you
imagine it?
I just hope that Cassie, like, I hope she knows all the hangover cures. I hope she knows the cure of the dog. I hope she's okay.
Nothing's going to cure that hangover. She's fucked.
Well, also, Miss Howard obviously sucks at, like, hangover cures. She's hungover all the time and fucking drinking wine on the couch left and right. So, like, she's not going to be a great influence. So, I feel like someone like you or I need to, like, I wish we could, like, intervene and help Cassie out.
She like, needs... look, girl, all right. You need a giant bong rip. You need, like, a bacon, egg, and cheese.
No, she needs, like, a weed pen. She's way too off her handle. She needs something small to start out with. Like, a weed pen. Fair. Yeah, bacon, egg, and cheese, everything bagel with some avocado.
Bloody Mary.
She needs a shower, but not probably so aggressively. Bloody Marys. Not a 4 a.m. shower where she's scrubbing her body raw. No, like a nice shower or bath. Maybe it's a bath. It's
more of a bath. A shower is a lot of work when you're
Maybe over. Listen to some Labyrinth. Some
so relaxing.
Yeah, I think she could use that. Like a face mask, you know. I'm envisioning a lot for her, but
Vicodin.
Let's cheers and just hope that Cassie gets better. I hope she's. I just want her to do better.
I'm gonna cheers to
Cal.
I'm gonna cheers to Cal's continued journey to disowning the entire Jacobs family.
And if you're gonna, it's also like we can be comedic, but I'll also cheers to Cal being like super vulnerable and like literally saying like I feel like I can't emotionally connect to any of you, and that's hard to say sometimes.
No, I mean it. He disowned his entire family for a valid reason, and it works and makes sense, and I don't blame him. Fuck them.
And the head wrap works.
Yeah.
Fucking cheers to the state champ, Cal.
Yeah, the wrestling champ.
Baby. All right, Euphorians, we will see you next Tuesday, bitches. Hope you enjoyed the episode.
Next Tuesday.
Like today's episode? Great. We love that for you. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. Leave us a podcast review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever the fuck you listen to us weekly. And be sure to follow us on Instagram at @so_euphoric for all the Euphoria updates you could ever possibly want in your life. Thanks for tuning in. Peace out, bitches.